Please be seated. Today, we encounter Jesus declaring himself a gate to a sheepfold. Other times, he's a shepherd, and in the final paschal drama, he becomes a sacrificial lamb. I could spend the next few minutes discussing with you the details of first century Palestinian shepherding, but this week, my thoughts have been about this sheepfold, this place of communal safety and shelter from life's storms I've shared with all of you for nearly three decades. Spring is a time of transitions, of graduations and military families getting their PCS orders, phases of life ending and beginning. Today is one of those days for me and for us after nearly 26 years in this place. We ended up here because we were invited, so never tell yourself that those invitations to church don't actually work. I was a poorly behaved fighter pilot, and Judy was the commander of the weather station at Tyndall. We were new to town and enticed to this place by a next door neighbor with biscuits and jelly and a suggestion that, seeing as how we were already Episcopalians, we might give Holy Nativity a try. We did, and within a few months, Bob Batten, Father Bob, came to me and with this goofy, half-serious delivery, announced he felt I was called to be an acolyte. And that was all it took. A year later, Jim was born, with us here in town and with no family, and the very first person to visit us in the Tyndall Hospital was Miss Beverly, already recruiting a screaming newborn for the day school. We moved away for law school, moved back, and were immediately wrapped again in the love of this place. I remember a Christmas pageant in this very spot in 1999 with Donkey Drew running up and down an altar rail over there that's been gone for years, with donkey ears flopping back and forth as he tried to disrupt the pageant, only to be outdone by a screaming newborn in the manger, Sean. With Jim, our oldest, playing Joseph, looking worried, which I think is sort of his resting expression, and trying to calm Sean down, and Judy as Mary, trying to look at ease in the midst of all that chaos. In this spot, we rode through the parish's troubles, left for a while, moved away to South Carolina, where Father Tom did his best to keep me in the Episcopal Church by email as that diocese careened out of control. And then after a time, we came home, and I heard great things were happening here again. I believed it after meeting Steve for the first time for lunch when we first came back to town. He was the first priest I'd ever known to meet for lunch over fish tacos and beer. Although, maybe I was the only one who had a beer or two that lunch. When we walked back through the door here nearly 7 years ago now, you could feel the spirit that filled this place. Now, maybe some of you remember that I wasn't the one in the family called to ministry back then. Rather, Steve enlisted a reluctant Judy as his youth director, and this parish experienced Leviticus potlucks and bonfires twice my height for no obvious theological reason, and children duct taped to walls, again for no obvious theological reason. But some of those kids are up here right now as acolytes, so something must have gone right. It was a magic time to be a part of this church family. Along the way, I guess I fell in love with the church and with all of you. The next thing I knew, I was spending more and more of my time on this side of the altar rail, as I am right now, realizing that some of the most significant moments of my life, baptisms, funerals, hugs at the back of the church, amazing music, goofy kids, first mine and then all of yours, all that happened right here in this space as God worked on me through all of you. This has truly been a sheepfold, a place of safety and community and love. Most folks you see in the pulpit have actually spent 3 years at seminary. The school part, I'll tell you, is pretty easy as graduate programs go. But I've figured out that what the bishops send their future priests to experience at seminary is what I've heard called formation, a time spent in a community of faith, growing in love and relation that would equip graduates for a life of service as priests. I didn't get to experience that. Or, more accurately, maybe I got to experience something better. The reason the bishop allowed someone like me to slip through the fence and into a collar was you, all of you. Not just Father Steve or Father Tom, but Hercules and Alice and Peggy and Sandy and Marla. He trusted all of you to provide that formation, to help me find an authentic call. Today is all about you, and I love all of you for helping me along. But it was never forever. Our reading in Acts tells us we respond when our community is in need. And there is a real need out there right now in the Episcopal Church for folks to minister to small, loyal, loving parishes. And going back to the Gospel of John, we have to leave the sheepfold to find pasture, to grow and find sustenance by spreading the kingdom of God. But we always know, again, as the gospel writer tells us, that through the gate, Jesus, we are not only drawn out into new pastures, but we can find our way back to the sheepfold. The gate is never locked to us. So don't be surprised if you find me here among you again from time to time, looking for a little strength and support. You all are family now. I've been accused of coming up here sometimes and playing the role of Eeyore, Winnie the Pooh's gloomy companion who expects little and is rarely disappointed. I hope I haven't drawn you there. As I look out at all of you, and at this light and space filled with memories of so many who have come before and meant so much to me on this walk, I think not of Eeyore, but of the words of his friend Pooh at the end of one of their adventures. How lucky I am to have something that makes saying goodbye so hard. How lucky indeed, and how blessed. God bless all of you, and thank you for being such a wonderful part of this journey.